I'm Brooke Thorington, and the following are portions of our interview with Detective Dwayne Littleton of the Catahoula Parish Sheriff's Office on the arrest of 29-year-old Anthony Pierce Holland Jr. of West Monroe for the death of 19-year-old Cheryl Turner of New Iberia. Due to the gruesome nature of this crime, the following is intended for an adult audience. This interview was conducted on April 25th, 2024.
Initially, it started back on January the 24th when we got a report of a body floating in the Ouachita River. We recovered the body and we could tell right away that it was a very heinous crime. The only thing we had was a torso, no head, no extremities at all. We began chasing leads, looking for anything we could find to identify her. It took us some time, but we finally were able to establish who we thought that it may be and was able to verify that through DNA testing, that it was Cheryl Turner out of New Iberia. From there, we just started digging into her life, trying to figure out where she was from, what caused her to leave, why she was in this area, so forth and so on. And it took a while through getting social media stuff. We had to send warrants off, and then they were all helpful, such as Facebook and Instagram and TextNow, those kind of platforms. But they was in no hurry at all, so it took a little while. But through those platforms, we were able to determine who she had been communicating with and that the person she was communicating with was from the West Monroe area of Ouachita Parish. And from there, we just kept digging until we linked it together that they had arranged for him to pick her up, and they picked her up and brought her. He picked her up on January the 1st and had brought her to West Monroe. So that's kind of how it started out and how it ended up, how she ended up where she was. And then from there, it just took working closely with the West Monroe Police Department and the Ouachita Parish Sheriff's Office. They were both very, very helpful in the deal. Ended up learning that we were pretty sure that Cheryl had been murdered in Ouachita Parish. So we got in there and they got in there and we started digging, and through their efforts, we got search warrants on his apartment and served them, and that turned up a ton of evidence, and we brought him in for interviews. And during the interviews, it took a little while working with him in the interrogations, but he eventually admitted to what he did and how he did it and where he disposed of the body. So from that point, they charged him, and right now we're still looking into other stuff that we're finding. We're still finding some forensic evidence through stuff, so we feel good about the case. We feel like that it's going to definitely get justice to be done. He's been charged, and we're just going to keep working the angles. West Monroe's also doing that, working and gathering more of the forensic evidence as it's presenting itself, and just going to go from there.
I then asked Detective Littleton if he believes there could be additional suspects and more arrests.
I don't know that for sure. I feel like that it could be possible, but we don't have nothing positively linking and telling us that. It's just the extent of the knowledge that it took to dismember this body. It's not something that somebody just overnight knew how to do. So I don't have no proof of it, but I would likely say that it could possibly turn into me and others. So that's why we're keep following everything that we're collecting. So it may lead to something more, it may not, I don't know, but we're going to explore all avenues and exhaust them until we can prove or disprove it.
Because the suspect and the victim lived roughly 210 miles or 3.5 hours apart from each other and had an age difference of 10 years, I asked how they met. Littleton says they met over the internet.
It was an online relationship that started through social media platforms, and it led from there to having phone conversations, text messages, and verbal conversations, and to the point to where they decided that they wanted to meet up. And so she agreed to move up this way to move in with him, and it went all kind of downhill from there. So.
And due to the nature of the crime, I asked if Holland had a criminal record.
None, not even a traffic violation. No criminal history whatsoever, no previous arrest, no previous suspects of being a suspect in anything that we're aware of or anything.
I also asked if Holland told them where they could find the remainder of Turner's body.
It was all in the same location. They disposed of everything at the same spot. It's just, for whatever reason, the torso was the only thing that floated out and got into the main part of the river and came down the river.
As for a motive,
we're still digging into that, trying to get more info on it. Nothing that we could get from him that would just out and out speak of why, what made him do it. Every time we would get into that with him, he'd kind of shut down and wouldn't talk about it. So we're hoping that he opens up some more and gives us a better look into what led up to it and what made this happen, or was it, you know, what provoked, if anything provoked it or what. But right now he just ain't telling us why. He told us how and that he did, but not why.
And because Holland's social media is part of the investigation, I asked if he was communicating with other young women.
Possibly. That's what some of the stuff we're checking on and running down now. And that we're trying to get some social media platform data back on. But at this time, we don't have anything that just jumps out and says, yes, he has been. So we're just chasing that to see. But I would think that it was a possibility, but we can't prove it right now.
Littleton was also asked if there have been similar crimes in other parts of Louisiana or the country.
Nothing to this extent. We early on in the case, we did get with the FBI and entered all the data into their VICAT program, which kind of goes spreads nationwide and kind of works off of a database of putting stuff together that kind of similar with other cases. And we did get some calls from some other agencies up in the northern part of the U.S. that had some similarities, but nothing to the extent that this was. We talked to several people during this case, and it was everybody's opinion that they, you know, this was something new that they had never encountered this to this extent. So it was pretty gruesome and methodical. I mean, it's, I don't know how to explain it without you just seeing it, but it's nothing like we've ever encountered or seen in this area, for sure.
Littleton says they believe that Holland has lived in West Monroe most of his life, but his previous profession as a truck driver allowed him to be mobile across the country.
He's born and evidently and lived there the majority of his life. We did find out that through his life, he was a truck driver. So he had drove throughout the U.S. on truck driving. So we're kind of chasing that stuff too. And that's one of the things we're doing, is checking anywhere that we've kind of put out a filler there that of anything that kind of relates to this case that anybody thinks could be similar to definitely reach out to us or to the West Monroe Police Department if they think that it's any kind of connection or anything that may be connected or that they think is similar. So we'll definitely look at it and chase it down until we can prove that it whether it was or was not related, or that it could be related.
Holland was not currently employed.
He wasn't working at all. So I don't really know what his last profession was. I just know that he was a truck driver for a while. And then he came home, and I think maybe he applied to work at some correctional centers, but I don't know of any of that ever come to light. I don't really know how he lived or if he drew. Now, West Monroe may know more about that, because I do know they had collected some of his financial data. So they may be able to tell more about where his livelihood and funds would come from. But so far, I don't know that answer.
Because Holland was previously a cross-country truck driver, I asked if human trafficking is suspected in this case.
Well, I don't know. There's nothing that we have that would suggest that. He's kind of a loner that don't like to be alone around people. He likes to, he kind of stays to himself and doesn't like to associate at all with people. He gets uncomfortable around people. So I would say likely not, but I don't know that answer either. So there's nothing that would suggest that I know of.
Littleton hopes the arrest will bring closure for the Turner family.
It's horrific. I'm just glad the family, we talked. We actually drove down to New Iberia yesterday and broke the news to her family and let them know that we had arrested the guy. Gave them some of that, and they were very pleased with us and told us that it, you know, gave them some closure, and now they're just looking forward to coming to the court hearings and being a supportive voice for her and make sure that everything goes smooth in the prosecution.
Even with a confession, Littleton expects the case will go to trial.
Even though he admitted and confessed and all that, I still look for him to plead not guilty, and for whatever reasons, and I'm sure we'll go to trial with it, or at least the beginning proceedings of it anyway. I know that the 4th District, Judicial District Attorney has been involved with this pretty heavily through the West Monroe end of things, so I'm sure that they are on point and ready for whatever he may present.
Due to the horrific nature of the crime, Littleton says he prays that Holland has no other victims.
We definitely, by all means, hope that this is a one-time situation that occurred with him. But on the same hand, if it's not, we're going to pursue it. We're going to do what we need to do to help other agencies maybe prove or disprove and collect whatever they need. What we can do to help, we're definitely on board.
I'm Brooke Thorington.